he's had this instruction to close the conference down, and indeed, whilst I was on stage, they came in with this document, but there were only three police officers and a huge number of people, and they also saw cameras from all over the world, and they sort of bottled out. We wondered whether today's conference would go ahead, but overnight, it is going ahead. The Prime Minister of Belgium has intervened to say what happened yesterday was wrong, as indeed did Rishi Sunak and the Prime Minister of Italy.
We are up against an evil ideology. We are up against the new form of communism. This is nothing less than
that. I know it's ugly. I know sometimes it is unbearable. But in a way, you need to thank God. You know why? Because if you're getting attacked, that means Christ is really very close with you, in you, and walking along with you.
What is happening is nothing but deliberate evil action by the secret societies. What does it benefit a man if he gains the whole world, yet at the end loses himself?
Welcome back to Resistance Chicks. We're your hosts, Leah and Michelle. It's Sunday, which means we're going to go all around the world with this week's top world news stories. Leah and Michelle back in studio together forever.
Can you turn me down a little bit?
Yes, I can. I don't know what number you are. How about that? Is that better? Are you number four?
That's a good one.
I feel like Robert Duvall movie. You're number one. I never can remember which number you are.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Open range.
Okay, so we are going to talk about Bishop Murray Emanuel, but we're not going to do that on Facebook. So if you want to stay for that story, you're going to stay till the end. Okay.
You're going to have to go to Rumble.
What?
You're just going to have to go to Rumble.
You don't have to go to Rumble.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I'm saying either way, you have to wait till the end because we're not doing it till the end. But we are going to talk about, so Nigel Farage was holding a conservative conference.
Well, he wasn't holding it.
It
was part of a kind of a European
National Conservative conservatism.
What do they call it here? What is Charlie Kirk's called?
It's not the CPAC.
CPAC.
It's like CPAC.
Like a European British.
So Victor Orban was going to be there.
Yeah, all the who's. The Netherlands guy, I think Gert Wilders, and guy Zimmer.
You kind of look like Gert Wilders. Like, I think like we could be related to him.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Except for, I think he's real blonde hair.
That's cute.
Yeah, so the mayor of Brussels sent the police in to shut down this conference. It was a professional conference, a giant conference, and they sent in people to, and police to shut it down. We're going to talk about that in a second, but my first story for the day. My first story for the day is the one that made me laugh the most. And so, before we get into some serious topics, not that cannibalism
what
isn't
in
serious.
What world is that?
So, do you remember that on Friday we played this clip? And if you didn't watch our show, this won't make sense to you. So, I'm sorry, you're going to be outside of the joke. Biden. Twice in one day claimed that his uncle was shot out of the sky during World War II, landed in New Guinea, and eaten by cannibals.
Which, that's such a fantastic
story. Well, now that he has offended the New Guineans, okay, academics from Papua New Guinea say that the actual cannibals who live there, and they do live there, would be extremely offended by Joe Biden's made-up story of his uncle being eaten by them during World War II. Because they wouldn't eat just any white man that fell from the sky.
No. Is that for real?
Yeah.
Let me bring this up. Oh my gosh. No.
I am so offended. We wouldn't eat just any white man that fell from the sky.
Oh my gosh.
Gotta have some reason behind eating these people. As we highlighted earlier this week, Biden, told everybody that his uncle was eaten by cannibals. In reality, his uncle wasn't a reconnaissance pilot, and he wasn't shot down over Papua New Guinea, and definitely wasn't eaten by cannibals.
Hang on. We got some audio issues here.
Now, the Guardian reports... Shh. What?
Because they wouldn't eat just any white man.
Thank you, Mom. That's terrible.
Wrong. No. Wrong mic.
I fixed the mic. Oh, my gosh.
We are weird.
That is really bad. Hang on. I got to think about this real quick because we're...
I hear myself through here.
I know.
Is there another mic on?
No, there is not, actually.
So why are we fuzzy? Why are we fuzzy?
I don't know. We're really...
In the red zone. I see it.
Hang on. Let me do this.
Is it because of Zoom?
It might be. Turn the mic down here. See
if that helps. It shouldn't have anything to do with it, but it might. Turn this down all the way. How about... Yeah, I know. We're trying to get it fixed. Hang on. Let's see if this fixes.
Well, now we need to talk for 30 seconds.
Yeah, we need to talk so they can hear the delay.
Well, The Guardian now reports that outraged Papua New Guinea academics have blasted Biden's tail. Yeah, we need to talk so they can hear the delay. I don't hear anything.
Is that better now?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All right. We're good.
As unacceptable and very offensive. Michael Kabuni, a political science lecturer at the University of Papua New Guinea, explained that cannibalism was historically practiced by some communities only in very specific contexts, such as after the death of a revered community member. They ate themselves. Okay? Right. They ate the people that they loved.
So they would only eat themselves.
And the people that they loved.
And the people that...
Kabuni noted that the native people only ever engaged in cannibalism as a sign of respect, and that the locals wouldn't just eat any white man that fell out of the sky.
I'm sorry that the audio may have taken away from the funniness of this.
Out of the plane, and somehow we think it's a good meal is unacceptable.
Oh my gosh!
There are certain rules and parameters of when and how we eat people, and we're not eating just any white man that falls from the sky. Because guess what? We don't respect him, and guess what? It's a good idea to eat him because he's not worth respect.
You don't know that guy. We don't know anything about Biden's uncle. Just because he's Biden's uncle, you don't get to say he's a turd.
I think he runs in the family.
The sins of the sons are passed up to the fathers.
The Polish president
uncles.
Has revealed that foreign companies own most of Ukraine's industrial agriculture. So you want to know where the money's going. The Oakland Institute published a detailed report February 2023 titled War and Theft, the Takeover of Ukraine's Agricultural Land, which exposed how foreign firms have clandestinely taken control over a significant share of Ukrainian farmland by exploiting a liberal law in collusion with local oligarchs. Their findings made waves around the world eventually receded from the public's attention over half a year later, once Western outlets like the USA Today misleadingly fact-checked it. So their fact checks weren't factually checked. They took advantage of social media users conflating indirect ownership through stakes with direct control to discredit the institution's report, after which it largely faded from the general discourse. Huwa expected that it would be none other than the Polish president, Andrzej Duda, who had just breathed new life into this during an interview with Lithuanian National Radio and Television. He was explaining Poland's problem with Ukrainian agricultural imports when he dropped the following bombshell. I would like to draw particular attention to the industrial agriculture, which is not really run by Ukrainians. It is run by big companies from Western Europe and from the USA. If we look today at the owners of most of the land, they are not Ukrainian companies. This is a paradoxical situation, and no wonder that farmers are defending themselves because they have invested in their farms in Poland, and cheap agricultural produce coming from Ukraine is dramatically destructive to them. Duda represents what's widely considered to be one of the most pro-American, anti-Russian governments at any time in history, so he can't credibly be accused of pushing Russian propaganda. He therefore wouldn't have confirmed the dramatic claim of majority foreign ownership of Ukrainian industrial agriculture, albeit indirectly through stakes in national companies that exploit a liberal law in collusion with local oligarchs. He didn't have the facts provided to him by Polish experts to back, if he didn't have the facts to provide for him. The development should prompt a resurgence of interest in prior reports on the subject, such as the USAID's about how private sector on the front lines of land reform to unlock Ukraine's investment potential. Thomas Fazi's detailed report in the Unheard's back in the Unheard back in July 2023 about how the capitalists are circling over Ukraine. The war is creating massive profit opportunities. Of course, it's always doing that. Most relevant, however, was what Zelensky told the World Economic Forum in Davos in May of 2022. We offer a special historically significant model of reconstruction. When each of the partner countries, of partner cities, or partner companies will have opportunity, historical one, to take patronage over a particular region in Ukraine, city, community, or industry, Britain, Denmark, the European Union, and other leading international actors have already chosen a specific direction for patronage and reconstruction. Come invest in my country. Come bring me money. Come set up company. Here we go. Money. All about the money. $60 billion we just voted to send. Now, $60 billion. 60 with a B. B.
You know what? People literally, and I mean literally, can't put food on the table right now.
Literally. Literally!
Leah.
1 year later, he hosted BlackRock's management in Kiev, during which time he discussed the creation of an investment and reconstruction fund, according to Zelensky. Today is a historic moment because since the very first days of independence, we have not had such huge investment cases in Ukraine. Oh, the war, Russia. But investment, come BlackRock. Come companies, come the whole world. Yes, blow up your own Ukrainian men. But please bring your companies. We will just get rid of them. I don't know how many Ukrainians are actually dying. I don't know. Is it all fake? I don't know, because I don't see. All I see is a very happy Zelensky up there saying, come with your companies, come with your money. All right. We are proud that we can initiate such a process. The war hasn't even been over yet, and he's ready to reconstruct.
So
the war, damage hadn't even been done yet, and he's ready for reconstruction. War will happen. Russia will blow us to bits, and then come and build us up bigger. This is what we call a controlled demolition.
So, but to speak to, we need to be very clear when we're talking about, everybody gave me a hard time last week about false flags and whatnot, about the guy catching himself on fire. However, in Ukraine, they literally don't care about their people. So you're saying, are Ukrainians really dying? I don't know, but I wouldn't put it past them to kill their own people. I'm just saying.
You know what I don't see though? Like CBS, NBC, in the front lines, the death, the destruction. You got everybody in Palestine and their mother counting every dead body 20 times.
Yep.
And showing the dead bodies over and over and over again. And every child with a little bit of chalk on their face.
What about that graveyard, though, that we showed that one time?
I don't know. Is it real? Out there?
I don't know.
It looks a little bit... maybe...
They would kill their own people. They have in the past.
Yeah, but what I don't see are... What I don't see are interviews with widows.
Right.
I don't see it. Now, doesn't mean that they're not there.
Right.
But there's no independent reporting.
Right.
There are people reporting from Papua New Guinea in Palestine. Right. About, like, the reporting on Palestine and Hamas is wide open. Where all our money is going in Ukraine, there's no reporting.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. No news is coming out. All we're hearing is... Russia bad, send us money.
Mm.
Have you heard anything beyond that?
Nope.
Nothing. And honestly, it doesn't even seem that Russia's doing that much damage.
Right.
Because I don't see a lot of pictures, but I see all the pictures coming out of Palestine.
So this is not really a question, this is more of a statement to Russia. If there isn't the destruction that they're telling us there is, Russia is lying about what they're accomplishing. And just
Russia hasn't said that they destroyed everything.
Okay, yeah.
Russia hasn't said that they've done much.
What I mean is, how come they're not coming out and saying, we're not doing any of that? We're not killing all their people. It's ridiculous. Because does Russia want to look big, bad, awesome? But if that's true, then they know.
Both of them are laughing at us.
Kind of. That's where I was getting.
Well, Putin's not going to say, we're not killing all your people. If you're bringing
Because Putin would be like, if you want to think that I'm some sort of, you know... amazing.
Putting the pieces together, Ukrainian leader made good on his May 2022 Davos proposal by offering companies patronage over Ukraine's industrial agriculture, which was already in the process of unfolding prior to them, but was greatly accelerated by last May's meeting with BlackRock's management. This took the tangible form of these indirectly foreign-controlled farms outcompeting Poland's by far, thus leading to the Polish farmers' protests across their country. And theirs actually turned violent, and the police were beating them. The sequence of events detailed thus far places into context mid-February's report about the G7's alleged plans to appoint an envoy to Ukraine who'd obviously be tasked with implementing the Davos agenda. If this comes to pass, particularly entrenching foreign control over Ukrainian farmland, it also suggests that Ukraine's informal focus on ramping up agricultural exports to the EU isn't just opportunistic, but particularly driven by these foreign firms' preference for speedy and reliable profits. Farming is a wonderful industry, but it can't be driven by profit. It has to be driven first by, I want to feed the people, and I want to do it. I want to do it so that the land is helped. But when you take the idea of a profit in an industry, they're always going to cut corners. And Ukraine actually had some of the most organic, non-GMO, just like Russia went non-GMO mm-hmm. and organic.
Right.
And now the things coming out of Ukraine are going to be industrial and exactly the opposite of what the climate changers want. They don't want, they're lying to you because they're not coming in. Do you see they're coming in trying to greenify Ukraine's farming industry? No, they're coming in to do industrial farming cheap and quick.
Yeah.
With the fertilizers and the nitrogen and everything. So they're lying to you in the Netherlands. They're lying to you in the UK. They're lying to you all around the world when they're trying to greenify things because the same oligarchs and the same, you know, bigwigs around the world that are running these giant corporations are coming in and they're on one hand, they're saying climate change. On the other hand, they're going in, they're just going to destroy, you know, Ukraine. All right.
So Cattle Queen says it's because they don't allow foreign reporters in the country. And Britt Baza says Ukraine is in reality Russia. And I know a few Russians who say state sanctioned murder is rife through Russia. And that includes the Ukraine.
It's much quicker for Ukraine to sell its agricultural products in the neighboring EU than to wait however long it takes to export them to Africa, not to mention more reliable since it's unimaginable that these developed economies would ever have the same possible payment problems as developing ones. These self-evident calculations work against Poland's interest. Ergo, how much of a struggle it'll be for that country to defend its domestic market from its influx, considering the powerful forces at play. It's not that just the Ukrainian agriculture lobby that wants tariff-free access to the products into the EU market, but also the lobbies of those foreign firms that indirectly control its industrial agriculture. The latter will likely fight tooth and nail to prevent any compromise being reached on Ukraine's hope for EU membership, whereby that former with the Soviet Republic's agricultural sector would be excluded from any deal. It's only by raising maximum awareness of the fact that most of the land within Ukraine's industrial agriculture is run by the big companies of Western Europe from the UK that Poland stands any chance wow. of compromise. And it's not just Poland. Ukraine is flooding the market, hurting everybody in the UK, in the European Union's, all the farmers. It's hurting all the farmers. Speaking of that, I just want to show you guys this, Michelle, this Twitter, it's four over on the left. This is the United States. This is our Congress when they passed the $60 billion. It's $60 billion plus $10 billion, so it's like $70 billion to Ukraine. And I just want you to see all the flags waving.
Oh my gosh.
That's our Congress right there. I don't know what country we're a part of, but like in any other country we're sending $70 billion to. All these people are so they're so corrupt and they're so brainwashed. I think some of them literally think they did the right thing. That chick in the brown, I think she thinks she did the right thing. I think, oh my gosh, we're helping Ukraine defeat Russia. We're helping defeat the bad guys. Like, I really, truly think that's what they think. This is America. That is our Congress.
Wow.
And all of them waving those flags. And Mike Johnson helped get that passed.
Oh my gosh.
Mike Johnson felt like that passing that quote unquote aid. Our founding fathers would be rolling over the grave. We are only supposed to be raising money. Here's the thing. $60 billion. What is that? We have 33 million people.
Mm-hmm.
So could somebody do some math for me? How much is it per person in America if we're sending $60 billion to Ukraine? So is that a couple? Is it how much is that per person? I need to know. Somebody give me some math. Is it $200 per person?
Yeah.
$200 per person. About. Every single person in the United States. What if we had to chalk that up for... I just can't.
But you see, here's the thing. I mean, most people, are struggling right now. When you say $200 per person doesn't sound like that much money.
It sure does.
When you add it up on top of everything else that we are being taxed for, I'm going to say this. Now, President Trump had said once in a State of the Union address, we will never be a socialist country.
We are socialist.
We are a socialist country. We already are a socialist country.
What's worse is we don't even have the benefits of what they call socialism with all their NHS and stuff because we keep sending all the money to everybody else.
Bingo. But we're not really sending it for aid. This is all pay for play.
No, if you wanted to send it to aid, send it to Africa.
Right.
They have no. They literally have tins for tin roofs.
This
talk
is the
about
thing.
Reconstruction. Why are we reconstructing Ukraine?
If you want to fight Russia, just fight Russia.
Do you know how many bad guys there are in the world?
Exactly.
Do you know how many bad guys there are in the world? How come you're not doing anything in South America?
Why not $60 billion to combat China to maybe strip away all the lands that they own here or something? Like if Russia is this giant threat. You directly go at them and do what you need to do. And we know that China is a threat. You directly go at them. You don't need to fund. Like, if we were to fight Russia, they wouldn't be able to be fighting Ukraine anyway because they would be so busy spending resources fighting America. And so this whole thing is just so stupid. This is not about helping Ukraine fight Russia.
And it's not about trying to take down Russia at all. It's a lie. All right, I want to bring you a good little piece of news. This is Catholic Poland. They are a Catholic country there in Poland, and any kind of devout religious expression that's truly felt, I can get behind. So this is thousands of Catholic men sing the medieval hymn of the Mother of God at the Warriors of Mary gathering in the Polish city of Wrocław.
So, do you not have volume either?
No, I had volume. I listened to it.
No, just now.
I don't have volume now.
Right. Hang on, guys. I'm so sorry about this. Let me just try turning it up just a little and see what happens. Because I don't know why this would have anything to do with the audio that's going out. Because it shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it is.
Okay.
Let me turn this up.
That was the problem.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, that was the problem.
I don't think that was the problem. It was this microphone. One. We shouldn't be just getting speaker just from.
Okay, let's see if we get volume over here. Now is that what you're
Zoom.
Saying?
Yeah. Oh, that's not what I wanted. That's weird. Let me know on that volume, guys.
And, you know, we were at a rosary rally where there was a bunch of really devout Christian men who really, truly love God. And if you truly love God, however you want to express that, I am behind it. And I just find it beautiful.
Yeah, that is really beautiful.
Yeah. So it's pretty awesome. Well, you play this. I thought this was funny. So a black guy, possibly Caribbean, has lived in Japan for 10 years and show us how integration works. Now, everybody says that black people are not accepted in like Japan or in China. But what he's saying is Japan is based on social rules, and the nail that sticks up gets hammered down. The Japanese are expected to conform, too. So if you behave like Japanese people, you'll be accepted. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It's how you act when you go to another country.
How long have you been in Japan?
A long time, over 10 years. Japanese society is based on a lot of social rules. And even a Japanese person who doesn't behave in the way that is expected, even they will be rejected. I believe there is a saying that a nail that sticks up gets hammered down. Best thing you can do in Japan is try not to stand out in a bad way. If you just behave like Japanese people, then you'll be accepted. Things like taking off your shoes before you go inside, wearing a mask if you have a cold, don't talk loudly on the train, for the love of God. I'm the only foreigner who lives in my apartment complex, and I wondered why they accepted me back when I was signing a contract with a real estate agency. I heard her saying on the phone to the owner, "Takedo, daijoubu desu. Nihonjin poi dakara daijoubu desu." I was wondering, "Nihonjin poi? Is it me? My face?" Japanese people accept if you behave just like them, but in fact, you're a guest in the country, so you should behave better.
How long have you been in Japan?
That's very interesting.
Well, he spoke Japanese too.
Oh, he really did. Yeah,
he's like, it's okay. He's like a Japanese person.
Yeah.
So I really think that there's this universal thing that when you act like the people that you're with, they will accept you.
And that's the thing that I have experienced in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I've lived here for a short while. It's been a minute. And I've been around quite a few people.
So the problem is with all these foreigners coming into Europe.
They're not people coming are not to racist. Be like
the people are not racist against you. You're if
right.
I was listening to one guy. There's some guy that's totally Arab,
mm-hmm.
and he's in a Scottish party.
Yeah,
and he's got a Scottish accent.
Yeah,
and it's hilarious to me. Like, how do you get a Scottish accent like in one generation? Mm. Like, I don't know how you do it, but he does.
So the point that he essentially was making, mm-hmm. I don't think that is restricted to just the Japanese. Mm-hmm. I think this goes across cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And this is...
And then you have to decide if you are comfortable going to a culture and being like them.
I think about it's it all the
like
time.
Going to Iran. I'm not going to Iran because I don't believe in the culture of how they treat women.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
But if I feel like I need to go somewhere, I'm going to go and fit in with that culture.
It would never dawn on me to go to a country and completely fly in the face of everything that they believe and how they act. Like, that would never enter into my mind.
Unless I'm going as a missionary and it's on purpose. Right. And I think that's kind of what is happening.
But even then, as a missionary, Paul says, when in Rome,
be like the Romans.
Right. So you're not even trying to upend everything. You're just trying to spread the gospel.
Right. When I'm with the Greeks, I'm like the Greeks. When I'm with the Jews, I'm like the Jews. And I just try to, as much as you possibly, live at peace with all mankind.
Yeah.
Kind, right?
That's a scripture.
Yeah. All right, Albanian king of Instagram used platform to tell followers how to sneak into Britain and join the drug trade. Now that would be like the so here's the opposite. That guy's going to Japan to be a good Japanese citizen, right?
Yeah, right.
This guy from Albania, and people think, well, you're being racist. Well, they're not. You're not saying, hey, let me show you how. That guy is saying, well, let me show you how to come and be Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
You take your shoes off. Be polite. Don't be loud. Right.
Right.
Follow the rules. And if that will and come in the way they want you to come in, don't just bust in, right? Be polite. If
and
that's the way
the
people
were
coming
respectful.
Into Europe or coming into Britain, people wouldn't have a problem.
Right.
Okay? They're not racist. They have a problem with you, Mr. Albania Drug King, okay? While we're sure social media sites are busy moderating misinformation once again ahead of the all-important 2024 election, one influencer is using Instagram to give his followers tips on sneaking into Britain and making up to £6,000 a month working illegally in the drug trade. We aren't allowed to say what we need to say on Facebook. We've been kicked off of YouTube because they are so focused on misinformation and keeping their power control that they let people smugglers. I've seen people on TikTok. I've seen people on Instagram trying to get people into Europe. You know, there's a lot of brothers and sisters in hardship can show you how to get there unnoticed without being detected. How do they do it? He says in one of his video clips. His name is Kozak Braki, an Albanian social media influencer with over a half a million followers on TikTok and Instagram. Okay, we've all been taken off all these platforms. Now, we're still on Instagram, but we don't do much there. Has hosted live tours of cannabis farms and offered insights into profiting from criminal activities in the UK during his streams. During the streams, the Daily Mail reported that one image, you can see him, captures Braki standing beside a man in a black SUV with a house displaying the Union flag in the background. In another photo, the influencer, whose chest and right arm are adorned with tattoos of AK-47s, sports a Chelsea shirt in front of a red Audi. He boasts he earns 25,000 pounds a month from his social media platforms, frequently posts pictures of himself with luxury cars and designer items, and says it's great to stay in a pot house.
Oh, my.
I can live there without any problem. So Graham Wheaton, an ex-Met police officer, reacted to the videos shown to him by characterizing them as glorifying drug production in the UK and enticing would-be criminals to come to Britain. Earlier this year, it was revealed to the Home Office that the Home Office intends to pay Albanian influencers, get this, £100,000 to discourage followers from entering Britain illegally. Will you please? I'll give you £100,000 if you tell Albanians not to come. That's not going to work. They're going to pocket your money and tell them how to come anyways.
Are that many Albanians coming? For it to be worth that kind of money?
This is what I don't understand. Why do you need to influence people to tell them not to come when you just have a closed border and say you can't come in? Like, if I'm trying to get to Britain, like, what's her name with the blonde hair?
Lauren Southern?
Lauren Southern. Yeah, she can't go to Britain. She's barred from going to Britain. But all these other people can illegally get in.
So it's like telling people, like, don't come into my house. You lock your doors, and if you have to, you get security dogs. Right? Like, you don't have to beg people not to come into your house. You just don't let them in.
TikTok said that they work closely with law enforcement. Well, obviously, you don't care then.
Wow.
Obviously, there's not a care there. This was a funny one. So this guy's Korean. And he's like, well, the one thing about Koreans is at least we never had any slaves.
Oh, no.
Some societies like Koreans, bleep, so they might have a god complex, but they don't have a history of oppressing another group of people.
Each other, right?
Are you f***ing out of your mind?
Yeah, what the f***?
What do you mean? You don't think Asians had they didn't oppress?
Koreans didn't have slaves. We didn't fly.
Did Koreans have slaves?
Korea had the longest unbroken chain of slavery of any society in history.
Holy shit.
You guys are scumbags.
We're scumbags. Some societies like Koreans.
Sometimes you don't know your own history.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Because they don't teach it to you.
Oops.
All right, here's a clip next to that. Peter Hitchens delivers a savage takedown of Net Zero to the horror of the BBC Question Time panelists and audience members.
What do people actually think they're achieving? Anybody can look. It's called the Energy Dashboard. You can get it up on your computer anytime and see on a normal day in this country where the power which is lighting your home and your place of work and everything else you see, where it's coming from. And on a day when the wind isn't blowing, it's largely coming from gas, or it's coming from imported power, which quite often comes from the Netherlands, where they still burn coal. We don't burn coal anymore because we didn't just close down our coal-fired power stations, we blew them up. We were so certain we were right to do so. At the same time, China is, even as we speak, building the equivalent of two new coal-fired power stations a week. India has a vast expansion program of coal-fired power stations. Even if George is right about his tremendous predictions of apocalypse, even if he's right, the contribution which this country is making by what it's doing to these outcomes is not merely minimal, it's non-existent. Everything that we do is completely blotted out by what much larger countries are doing to maintain their own power. Now, if you want to live in a country with net zero, if you want to live in a country where nobody can afford to heat their house, where people have incredibly expensive and largely non-functioning heat pumps inflicted on them, if you want that kind of thing to happen to you, if you want lots of people to lose their jobs because there's no energy, if you want to be cold all the time, if you want the computers which make life possible in practically every form of life to shut down every so often, then carry on believing that the demand to go for net zero, to keep it in the ground, is intelligent and thoughtful.
Yeah! Wow. That's
listen,
excellent.
Any sort of net zero campaign, there is no such thing as net zero. Net zero is Amish,
and I love that.
But that's not what they mean. The pie in the sky idea that they're
which
they,
is not even net zero because the Amish cook with wood,
and there's no such thing as net wood. Zero. There is no technology. Unless they literally are sending little
death
Martians
for
to
all
the sun,
human beings.
Packaging up little sun rays, bringing it over here and saying, we're going to run everything on sun rays. It's not going to happen. The wind power has an environmental impact. the wind. Those things are made of fiberglass. How do you think fiberglass is made? Fiberglass isn't made from pixie dust. Okay? And those things have to go somewhere and they have to decompose. Well, they don't decompose. Okay? You've got those solar panels. How do you think the solar panels are made to make you don't have solar pan you don't have solar power that makes the solar panels. The solar panels are made in China on and China is making more coal plants than you can count, you know, count it. You can't even count to 10 in 10 seconds and they keep making another coal plant.
Stop with it.
They're making a coal plant every 10 seconds. They're opening up a new one.
Leah, that's not true.
It's almost true.
It's not true. He said two a day.
It's almost true.
Okay. The fact of the matter is that no matter what you do, if you're trying to maintain any sense of the way we live right now, it's net zero is impossible. There's no goal for net zero. You can't ever get to net zero. You'll never be net zero because, like Leah said, net zero is that you leave no footprint. You can't have graveyards of massive wind turbines and call yourself net zero. You can't be mining cobalt and be net zero.
The idea,
you
though,
can't have all these batteries
the
and
worst
be net
thing
zero.
In the world, regardless of pollution, regardless of plastic, regardless of any sort of environmental impact, it's just the carbon. It is so psychotic.
Which, out of all of the things that are damaging to the planet,
it's the least
the carbon
amount of
is
damage.
The least amount of damage because the planet thrives and survives on carbon.
On carbon.
Nothing could be farther from the truth.
The planet is warming at certain times of day because of the stinking airplanes in the sky.
Yeah.
The stinking airplanes in the sky are creating clouds and then the heat during
and you know
the
what
day
I think about this
is not
so unscientific, right? Because science is something that is provable, observable, and repeatable.
Yeah.
And also takes into consideration all factors.
Yeah.
So you don't get to look at, quote unquote, global warming over, let's say, the last 100 years mm-hmm. and say it has to only be carbon. Let's just say for a second that we agree that the planet is warming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The planet is warming, and they're saying it's all only because of carbon. But if you ignore all the different things, it's like, you know how when we're trying to help mom fix something? They tell you to introduce one possible remedy at a time. Mm-hmm. Because if you introduce them all at once, you won't know which one
you
actually helped or caused a stink or made it worse. And so the past 100 years,
these people are so brainwashed. It's a cult.
Hang on, I can't focus on that while I finish this sentence because that's too distracting. I want to focus on that when we play it. The past 100 years, there have been so many things that have changed in our environment and the way that we live. The main one that I think stands out like a sore thumb is how many airplanes fly in the sky blocking the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cities, concrete. Like all of these highways,
asphalt,
parking lots, mm-hmm. like all of these things, no one is saying, hey, maybe we should look at these other things. They're just so focused on carbon because it's an obsession and it is a cult. And now we can go and watch your video about these crazy looking wackos. What is this?
Bought unnecessary new clothes.
Ignored crisis, allowed new coal mine. These people, for our podcast listeners, they're wearing like sackcloth, essentially, and they're covered in powder with...
I think it's sackcloth.
Yeah.
Exploited our planet, wasted fuel.
And they've got these like tear, bloody stains coming down their faces, and they look completely dejected.
These people truly believe in this, though, and they're not. But here's the thing: they're going to go home. Okay, funding climate hell. They're going to go home. They're going to turn on their coffee maker. They're going to turn on their TV.
They haven't. I bet these people are not living Amish.
And they're going to say, "But I went to the protest today, and I did something." Because my protest is to get other people to create a technology that doesn't exist.
Right.
I am so angry that nobody has created a technology that doesn't exist. Create the technology that doesn't exist and do it now.
I keep going back to that Trump rally that we went to in, I think it was 2018, something like that, in Cincinnati. And we talked with the young kids there.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were terrified that they were going to die soon.
They, because of AOC, it was like, we are the hope. We will not exist in 12 years. Mm-hmm. And we tried to have an intelligent conversation with them.
And I said, and, okay, so you're ready to give up your cell phone?
Well, no, I'm not. No, that's not what it is. It's all these other things. And so we're like, what about gardening? Do you recycle? Are you composting? Have you considered raising your own animals? What about getting horses? And all of these things, it was like talking to a robot or a computer, and it's like, doesn't compute, insert other factor.
I was like, have you seen your cell phone? I was like, do you know how this is created? Are you ready to give this up? Well, no, I'm not ready to give up my cell phone. Like, I just believe we're all going to die soon.
Right.
But...
but it was literally like watching something glitch when you're inserting information that is like, can't assimilate this information. They had no processor in their brain to assimilate the information of
the climate. What do you want us to do for the climate? I want, they can't fill in the gap.
I know.
I want electric cars. Well, how do you think electric cars are going to save it? Do you know how cars are built?
Right.
Do you know how cars are mined?
Yeah.
Do you know that there's no way in your lifetime that there is going to be an electric bulldozer.
Right.
There's just not going to be one.
Right.
There's not going to be an electric bulldozer. You're going to still have to dig.
I would love make to your see.
Steel. And steel is not going to be made with your solar panels and your solar electricity.
You would love to see a city exit where all of these kids that are so convinced of this climate crisis just decided to convert and go and live Amish.
I would believe you if that's what you believe. But the problem is that the devil went too far, I think, with my generation. It was like, save the planet, reduce, reuse, recycle.
Right.
Like, and that actually eventually, kind of caught on.
Yeah.
Because people are like, well, yeah, sure. I don't want to damage the planet. Yeah, sure. We look at when we were kids, it was like oil spills. Okay, yeah, that's bad. Right? It was like, look at the polluted rivers. Yeah, that's bad.
Right.
But they're not talking about polluted rivers or oil spills anymore.
Mm.
They're only talking about energy.
Right.
Energy created, energy used. Well, do you guys have a smart TV in your house? Yeah. Do you want to turn it off? No. Do you want to do like my friend Catherine, who literally every Friday turns off every electronic in her house and only uses candlelight?
She already doesn't have any hardly. She doesn't turn off her refrigerator.
Right.
Well, but, like, she turns off the lights.
And everything else. Do you want to do that once a day? No.
I want to be able to play my video games for 4 hours, but I need to save the planet.
You don't want to save the planet? Stop. Wake up. And it's these schools. Pull your kids out of the public schools, please, tomorrow. All right, so let's go to the Nigel Farage story. This is huge. So where do I want to start? Which video do you want to start with? Let's see. So Nigel Farage was at a conference. Let's start with this one. Police attempt to shut down Farage. It's the fourth one in. And it's not just Farage. It was a bunch of conservative speakers in Brussels. And here, this is Farage. Now remember, Farage's part was an MEP. They met in Brussels.
Right.
And he never wanted to go back, but he's back. But on the outside.
No alternative opinion allowed. This is the updated new form of communism. And you know what? If anything ever made me think that Brexit was the right thing to do, it's the events here in Brussels today.
It's the most extraordinary situation, Nigel. As far as you understand, three police officers outside right now. Do you have any indication how this event will develop, whether police will open these doors, and frankly, how will you respond if the Belgian police try to manhandle you out of this conference?
Well, you know, Tom, I'm not given to violence, so I won't avail myself of it. But no, it's pretty clear this will be closed down. They're using public order, but that actually is no excuse at all. There is no public order threat in here whatsoever. No alternative opinion.
All right, so as Nigel Farage was on stage at this National Conservative Conference on Tuesday in Brussels, the far-left Turkish Heritage Municipal Mayor, Imar Kerr, ordered police to shut down the event in an attempt to show that the far right is not welcome in the de facto capital of the European Union, although some participants, including members of the European Parliament and former French president candidate Eric Zemmour, were blocked by armed police from entering the building, the conference continued. Ultimately, an emergency late-night ruling from a Belgian court ruled that the order to shut down the conference was unconstitutional,
over breaches of freedom of speech and assembly protections. Could you imagine if you just had a Clinton George Soros convention and it was shut down over far left? A far left. This came after neoliberal Prime Minister Alexander De Croo reapproached the municipal mayor's order, saying that banning political meetings is unconstitutional, full stop. After the conclusion of the NatCon conference on Wednesday, Nigel Farage said on his GB News program, "The whole world could see the cancel culture was alive and kicking in Brussels yesterday, and this story has gone global. I believe it is a watershed moment that now it cannot be denied that this sort of thing happens." Let's see. Will you go ahead and play?
We'll play it from right here.
Yeah.
I hadn't expected to be welcomed exactly with open arms by this community, but what happened today was truly extraordinary.
Nigel Farage was a keynote speaker at the event, and he was on stage as police arrived to try and close it down.
The police are outside the door as I speak. They will not let anybody else in. You know, I've experienced cancel culture personally here. I've had, you know, restaurants wouldn't serve me in Brussels in my last days as an MEP, coffee bars, even the pub I used to use said I couldn't go there anymore. And we give huge thanks to the Tunisian owner of this business for his courage in allowing free speech to take place. But what is happening as we speak is he is receiving phone calls from the local mayor. The police are being encouraged to come in and shut down this conference. They have an order to close down this event, and when more police gather, that's exactly what they'll do. No alternative opinion allowed. This is the updated new form of communism. And you know what? If anything ever, ever made me think that Brexit was the right thing to do, it's the events here in Brussels today.
Okay,
I'm done. Okay. They're throwing me off. Goodbye, everybody.
I actually think yesterday is a bigger victory for free speech than we probably realize right now.
It's good, Nigel.
The censorious actions of Brussels officials, with other mayors reportedly putting pressure on other venues to refuse to host the conference, have drawn condemnation from across the political spectrum, including from populist right-wing figures such as the Italian Prime Minister Meloni, Viktor Orban. Mr. Orban drew comparisons to the event to his days as an anti-communist activist in Soviet-controlled Hungary in the 1980s, relaying that government.
I don't even know that word.
I don't know. Would put pressure on the venues to refuse to host his Fidesz party meetings, which is now the largest party in Hungary, and was a key strategy of the communist government in the dying days of communism to prevent dissent from spreading. However, it was not just the populist right who condemned the actions of the socialist municipal mayor, with even those of the European left raising the alarm with former Greek finance minister saying, "I'm no political friend of Nigel Farage, but I would hate if anyone like Nigel was prevented from speaking merely because he may say some things that may annoy, among other people, myself. Unless we return to basic liberal values and stop wanting to be triggered by the arguments of our opponents, we stand no chance of navigating a decent course through the very various landmines of authoritarianism." Perhaps most surprisingly, top globalist bureaucrat and former Belgian Prime Minister Guy Verhofstadt also blasted the move, describing it as a ridiculous own goal. The sense, I think it's because Nigel makes him laugh.
Nigel makes everybody laugh.
But especially Guy Verhofstadt.
Yeah, he does.
The censorious act may have significant political ramifications, given its proximity to the European Parliament elections in June, in which citizens from throughout the EU will head to the polls. Even before Tuesday, there has been a brewing anti-globalist sentiment rising across the continent, with farmers leading the charge against the green agenda favored by Brussels elites. And it can't be called green. I think it should be called technological. The green movement is not green. It's tech. It's gray.
It's good, Leah.
It's a gray movement.
It's gray.
Can we coin that here? It's a gray movement.
Yeah.
It's electric.
Just hashtag it's gray, not green.
It's gray, not green. It's AI and it's electric. And it's technological.
Yeah.
It's a tech movement.
It's the techie movement.
The green movement is not green. Green means, is there anything green about solar panels?
Not a thing.
Is there anything green about a windmill?
Nope.
What's green? Grass is green.
Trees.
Plants are green.
Love them.
When you talk to me about plants and grass and you actually truly mean, if there was a true green movement.
Yep.
Around the world, we're planting trees. We're planting fruit trees.
You know where we're going today?
We're going to go to Grant's farm.
Grant's greenhouse.
Greenhouse.
Where the houses are green.
Why are they green?
Grow green things in them.
Yeah, and if you're going to use electricity, use it minimally like to help fans. You grow green things.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I want these people to all open a greenhouse. If you want to be green, you start a garden, you get chickens. You know, and I go back to this every single time. How far we have fallen from the days of even in the World War II propaganda of how evil that war was. We were still so agrarian that they promoted victory hen houses, not just victory gardens.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're headed to a place, I'm about to tell y'all, when the poopy hits the fanny, it's going to go down. And people will be literally starving. And then you'll start to see the kind of victory garden propaganda stuff come back up. And they'll be like, hey, you know what? Why don't you start growing some food to help your neighbor? Because we're all starving here.
It's gray, not green.
It's gray, not green.
Yeah, let's play some of these Farage clips. So this is, it's hilarious. And I'm glad it got turned around. But they pushed too far. They looked ridiculous to the rest of the world when they did
this. This is just
things.
A search. Should I close this one? We played this one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everybody. The last time I was officially in Brussels was on the 30th of January, 2020. It was the day before we were due to leave the European Union. And I waved my flag in the Parliament. They cut the microphone off because alternative views have never been particularly welcome here. And this is my first official visit back. And I'd like to say that it's really good to be back in Brussels and that things have improved. But clearly, they've actually got rather worse. What has happened over the course of the last 48 hours is simply monstrous. This is national conservatism. There are people coming on this platform over the course of these 2 days representing political parties that will top the polls in their country in the European elections of June this year. Hopefully 9 countries, but who knows, it may be more than that. We have, of course, Viktor Orban from Hungary appearing on this platform as well. And yet, I mean, I knew I wouldn't be welcome back in Brussels. And having one venue cancel, well, okay, I can live with that. But for 2 venues to cancel is absolutely outrageous. And what you may or may not know in the audience now is that this venue, which accepted this booking last night, and we give huge thanks to the Tunisian owner of this business for his courage in allowing free speech to take place. But what is happening as we speak is he is receiving phone calls from the local mayor. The police are being encouraged to come in and shut down this conference. They have even been speaking to the caterers. So the food hasn't arrived. The plates haven't arrived. Worst of all, the drinks haven't arrived.
Oh my gosh, I love Nigel so much.
He's got more.
Well, it's done me a favour. Because at times I think, I wish the government had done Brexit a bit better than they have, and why haven't they tightened the borders up? But if anything's convinced me that leaving the European Union ideology was the right thing to do, it's the events of today. And I understand as we speak that the police did come in during my speech, but saw the cameras and withdrew. They have in their hand an order to close this meeting down. But there are only 3 police at the moment. Goodness knows how many people here. So they're going to gather their strength and come in and clear us all out. It's monstrous. But I tell you what, it's done me a favor.
What he's essentially saying is this proves the whole point for why I say we, I'm not from the UK, but why we left the European Union, right? I mean, I feel a kinship here. So I think that you can see the smile on his face. He's a little smug about it in a good way. Like, yeah, this is why we left. This is the type of, you know, tyrannical dictatorship that we were getting out of.
I mean, this is a modern, updated form of communism. That no alternative opinion is allowed. There is not a single public order interest here at all. Have a look who's in the room. These are very eminently respectable people. Have a look outside the building. I mean, you know, there's about half a dozen people. There isn't a serious violent protest, and nor should there be. We've got the Prime Minister of a country coming. We've got a Roman Catholic bishop coming. We've got representatives of parties who will top the polls all around Europe in elections. This is the sort of complete old communist style thing. If you don't agree with me, you ought to be banned, you're mad, and to be shut down.
First of all, Nigel looks really good. He's ever since he did that program, the Survivor type thing, he looks really good. But the point that he's making is so huge to me. It's not just a matter of they don't want to hear your voice or they don't want your voice, you know, out there. I believe that the reason why they were shut down is that kind of even Mao Zedong, you know, this idea that we can't allow alternative thoughts to get into the minds of the people, right? That's the thing. This is information control. This is freedom control, because if people learn to think for themselves and they listen to people who are teaching them to think for themselves, then they will rise up and they will throw off such governments.
Landlord of my local pub in Brussels, which we frequented, and we mix with people who work with the European Commission, even Mr. Juncker would pop in from time to time, and I never caused a scene, never had a row. We were just after work going for a drink. Even the publican said to me one day, Nigel, I'm sorry, you can't come here anymore. Otherwise, the European Commission will put a boycott on our premises.
Unbelievable.
So I know all about cancel culture. I know all about venue culture. And what may have come as a shock to many of you today, and perhaps hopefully to our friends in the press, doesn't surprise me at all. Because you see, when we talk about European Union, when we talk about the building of a new global superpower, when we talk about Brussels as the epicenter of the globalist project, no alternative view is allowed.
Yep.
No alternative view is tolerated. It's quite acceptable, of course, to say that you're skeptical, that you think perhaps integration is happening too quickly. All of that is perfectly allowed.
It's amazing that this is, you know, you really don't think even in Brussels that they would do this, and then they do.
It has been truly the most extraordinary day in Brussels. Now, for me, this is nothing. In my last years here, I was barred from coffee bars, barred from restaurants, even barred from a pub I've been using for 20 years. But today, they brought that cancel culture. They brought that intolerance onto the world stage. And now, from British TV stations across America and the whole of Europe, everyone can see the true face of this European Union. And yet, when we come to the British Labour Party, this is what Jonathan Ashworth had to say earlier on today.
I think some of the speakers, from what I understand, who have been advertised on the website for this conference, have very unsavoury views. I'm rather surprised that Suella Braverman's been allowed to go and speak at this event. Why is Rishi Sunak not getting a grip of this situation? Why is he not asking Suella Braverman to pull out of this event? Because some of the characters involved, at least according to their website, have made all kinds of comments which I don't think the Rishi Sunak's Tory party would want to associate themselves with.
And just to prove what the new Labour government will be like, he was backed up by rising star of the Labour movement, Wes Streeting.
And of course, a source close to the right honourable member for Fareham, who couldn't be here today with us, Mr Deputy Speaker, because she's currently in Brussels, surrounded by the police who are trying to shut down the event she's attended with some far-right fanatics with whom she has much in common. She said that she is not a fan of the bill. Well, now she knows how the rest of us feel about the right honourable member for Fareham too.
Can you see what's coming down the line with a new Labour government?
given that Sir John Curtis, the doyen of political commentators, says it's 99% certain that, you know, the next time we have a Prime Minister, it is going to be Keir Starmer. Well, I'm very pleased to say that Rishi Sunak's official spokesman said, clearly, these reports are extremely disturbing. Even the Prime Minister of Belgium, which is not a country I've always had great relations with, said what happened at the Claridge, the name of the club today, is unacceptable. Yanis Varoufakis, the hard lefty who for a time was the finance minister in Greece, has said, I'm no political friend of Nigel Farage, but I would hate it if anyone like Nigel was prevented from speaking merely because he may say things that may annoy, among other people, myself. And the Prime Minister of Italy, Giorgia Meloni, has said, what is happening in Brussels leaves us in disbelief and dismay. So apart from the nerdy, puritanical types that Keir Starmer wants to make our future cabinet ministers, across the board, across a wide political spectrum, what has happened today has met with absolute condemnation, and so it should.
You know,
let me tell you something.
Nigel Farage is in such good health. I have never seen somebody who's able to get up so early.
I know.
Take a barrage all day, put together an entire show that night, mm-hmm. not be sleepy, but have tons of energy. He's the kind of person that gets energized by things like this. His thoughts get clearer.
Yeah.
And he's able to put it together and hammer. That's what makes him so powerful. That's what makes him so dangerous. Because there's very few people like him.
That's good.
People like him don't exist.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump is one of them. You can go.
That's why they get along so well.
If you get hammered, if you get up like at 5 in the morning, and you know that he does to get to that conference, then he's battled all day, Nigel is.
Right.
Then he says, what happened today? So he put together an entire show.
Yeah.
And pulled it together and got the resources and got the sources and got the quotes and put together a clip with a cool little background in the back.
Well, he has people to do that, but yes.
But yeah, I mean, he put it together. And I'm telling you, that's why he is... That's why people get behind him, because he's what's called a true leader. True leaders are
very
born.
Capable.
Mm-hmm. True leaders are born.
Yeah.
It is innate inside of your body to be able to do things like that.
That's good.
And to run that race. You know who else is a true leader? Another one is Viktor Orban. I don't know if he has the same stamina as Nigel Farage. Very few people do. The globalist leadership in Brussels must go, says Viktor Orban, and does not deserve another chance, says Viktor Orban. And at his declared at a European Parliament campaign launch in Budapest on Friday. Change is needed in Brussels, he proclaimed, saying, we must occupy Brussels, push aside their bureaucrats, and take matters into our own hands. If we don't, not only Europe, but we Hungarians will pay a heavy price for the incompetence and the helplessness of the leaders in Brussels. Telling members of his populist party, Fidesz party, on Friday that their campaign slogan for June elections will be no migration, no gender, no war.
Wow.
Wow.
That's good.
The Hungarian prime minister, currently the longest serving. And that's huge, because that is totally opposite of Poland, you know, and their next door neighbors. The longest serving national leader in the EU cast the election as one of stark contrasts, particularly on issues of mass migration, gender ideology, and perhaps most importantly on matters of war and peace. In Brussels, we have a pro-war majority today. Europe is in a pro-war mood, and the politics is dominated by the logic of war. I see war preparations everywhere, on everyone's part. NATO's Secretary General wants to establish a NATO mission in Ukraine, and the European leaders have already drifted into war. I talk to them. I hear them. They see this as their own war, and they are fighting it as their own. The populist leader, who has consistently pressed for peace negotiations between Kiev and Moscow and has argued against Europe entering into long-term funding commitments for the war in Ukraine, added that he believes the situation is not improving despite all the money. It is improving for a lot of people, just not you and me and the rest of the world. Some people's situations are improving greatly.
Mm.
Okay. Orban warned that the conflict is one step away from the West sending troops to Ukraine. I don't really think we're going to get there. I don't think that they want war. They just want it to perceive this war so they can funnel the money.
Yeah.
So Viktor Orban being one of the great leaders of our day.
So what we didn't showcase, and this is important to finish off the Nigel story, Belgium's highest court rules that leftist mayor's attempt to shut down the NatCon conference is unconstitutional. As Nigel Farage took to the stage on Tuesday in the Claridge in In the Clarendon, Brussels, a large contingent of police officers could be seen milling around the venue with an order to close the event on the grounds that it was creating a public disturbance. This bizarre saga leaves one wondering, where is the looming threat of authoritarianism in Europe, in right-wing conservatives who gather in hotels to talk about the future of Europe, or in leftist activities, activists and mayors who want their political adversaries silenced and canceled before they even open their mouth? So it was ruled as unconstitutional. Yeah. Eventually.
All right. So I
what
believe,
in the
I
world?
Believe, will you bring this one up? This one, I believe this is how you should solve things.
Leah.
Just kidding. This is a brawl that erupts in the Georgia parliament. I don't believe that they are strangers to violence in their parliament there. I think we've seen some more. They tend to solve things through a little bit of hand and fist.
Hang on. I got to find out.
It's one of the bright parts.
I know. Here we go. Oh, my gosh. I'm just literally looking over, and then there's Leah with this. Okay.
So the attacker in question was identified as the MP.
This picture is hilarious.
A member of the opposition Citizens Party who reportedly assaulted the ruling Georgian Dream MP during a parliamentary debate about a hotly contested bill that would require non-governmental organizations, NGOs, to register as foreign agents if they receive a certain amount of funding from abroad. The one guy was speaking in favor of the bill before the parliament's legal affairs committee when the other guy punched him. Following the punch, a swarm of lawmakers approached the podium and began to fight. Go ahead and play it. Interrupting the legislative process. The one guy later declared that he committed the attack because the Georgia Dream was dragging us to Russia and we must drive them out.
Oh, my. Oh, jeez. It wasn't even that good of a hit. What kind of punch was that?
Straddling the borders of Europe and Asia, Georgia, a post-Soviet state, has experienced decades of political strife as dueling forces in the government attempt to bring Georgia closer to Europe or the Central Asian Russia and Russia. The fight on Monday is far from the first in the fistcuffs in the Georgian parliament, prompted by disagreements over foreign agent law, which the ruling party shelved last year and promised to return the debate when emotion subsided. The text of the legislation would require organizations operating in Georgia to register as foreign agents if they received 20% of their funding from foreign individuals or groups. The bill would also create a database of foreign agent groups. Supporters say the bill also offers transparency and would allow Georgia citizens to better judge the positions and activities of organizations if they know where the groups receive their money. Georgian society absolutely deserves to know which organizations are being financed by what sources, says the Georgia Dream Parliament member. Opponents, however, complain that the text of the law is alarmingly close to provisions in Russia that require organizations to register with the government. So, it's the pro-Russia versus the anti-Russia.
Oh, my. You know, it's so funny just how much this Russia is infiltrated every nation in the world.
All over.
Like, and so, what is with that?
That's a really good question.
Like, you wouldn't think that the Georgians would be fighting over Russia. And yet here we are.
All right, this is a very interesting story. I don't know. Well, let's go to this one first. So Dubai. I showed this to Matt and Michelle. I think they heard about this. The Lamborghini is swimming, bro. So Dubai is a desert area in the Middle East. They cloud seed. Mm-hmm. They are weather manipulators. When you weather manipulate, you're going to get things wrong. Okay? So this crypto influencer, BitLord, as his sport car battled against heavy rain in Dubai on Tuesday. He was among hundreds of crypto traders and enthusiasts who descended upon the United Arab Emirates city this week for two cryptocurrency conferences. Attendees had probably expected the dry, arid conditions synonymous with the Gulf Desert. Instead, they were met by some of the heaviest rain in Emirati history. Along the border with Oman, 254 millimeters of rain was recorded in less than 24 hours, the most since the records began in 1949.
Climate engineering.
Many traders and influencers were left unimpressed by the ordeal. Dubai is the worst city I've ever been to, and I'm not coming back. In a lengthy post, another crypto influencer said the emergency door on his plane into Dubai was shaking as the aeroplane landed in 3 feet of water. He said his suitcase was floating down the runway. He added that he attempted to live stream the conditions in Dubai until 8 police officers were trying to arrest me for live streaming in public.
You're kidding.
Another crypto investor and podcaster wrote, "This is the worst blank I've ever seen. Zero police, zero firefighters, zero taxis. just logging the sea with a rental car after a flight getting delayed for 6 hours.
I love this. This is really punny. Whoever said Dubai was lacking in liquidity.
Uh-huh.
That's funny. That's funny.
You can scroll down. This is funny.
This is a joke, but it's still funny.
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh.
So
there was a couple more. All right, Michelle, go to Twitter and type in Dubai. We'll scroll through some of these because I thought I had some more up, but I want you guys to see some of these videos because. Oh,
I just
AI.
Spelled it. Hang on.
Dubai. All right, scroll down. No, just go to the top.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go to the top. And are they seeing?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, press play. This is the effects of cloud seeding.
There's no audio here.
The cars are in the water. This is something I'm going to go through the Mojave Desert. This is never going to happen.
Right?
Not going to happen unless you try cloud seeding. Right, folks? Cloud seeding. I don't even know. Are they just floating? Because are they actually driving?
You can't tell.
Let's see.
I didn't put flood in the top. You might want
to put
flood in the top.
See, let's do that.
There, it's right there.
There we go.
Oh my gosh.
It's cloud free and sunny again now. However, this was the result of 2 years of worth of rain in just a couple hours.
Man, for the podcast listeners, I mean, you're just looking at it looks like a complete flood.
Like a river took over.
Yeah. I got this. No cloud seeding.
There's been lots of speculation
clouds.
That
this
cloud seeding
so the BBC
is to blame,
is,
but
is,
scientists
they're
say
it wasn't cloud
this
seeding.
Is misleading. Cloud seeding means manipulating existing clouds to help make it rain. This can be done by dropping salts or small particles into clouds. Water vapor can then condense more easily and turn into rain. The UAE has been doing it for years to help with water shortages. Unconfirmed reports suggest cloud seeding did take place the day before the floods. But scientists say that even if that was the case, the seeding would at best have had a minor effect on the storm that hit the Gulf.
Oh my gosh.
And we do know that ahead of the floods, computer models were already predicting well over a year's worth of rain to fall in 24 hours. Scientists also say this record rainfall is consistent with how the climate is changing. As the planet
really?
Gets warmer, the air can hold more.
No. Shut up.
Here, I got one. I retweeted.
So here's the actual storm coming in. So dark. This is a sped up version of the storm as it comes in. Oh my gosh, it's just so much. Wow. Oh, there it comes. There it goes. The music is a little misleading there. Dubai streets turned into rivers. We've got people paddling on rafts. It's probably rescuers. After heavy storms hit the Emirate. People are pushing a car. Torrential rains caused flash floods and disrupted air traffic. Well, no kidding. Police issued a public safety advisory. Unbelievable. More unstable weather is expected. That's just
all
incredible.
Right, so go to my profile. I've got a couple of these out here. The airplanes. It's non-negotiable. The cloud seeding is not.
There's an ocean at the airport.
But it's also incredibly foolish and dangerous. This is Dubai today. Insane weather patterns artificially caused by this controversial product. Practice. People were saying, it wasn't just these clouds. We didn't create this with this cloud. You're creating artificial weather patterns.
Right.
It, Michelle, when you put those salts up into the air and you start to, it doesn't affect you for a day, Michelle.
No.
This is a weather pattern. You're manipulating weather on a global scale. The government of Britain has used the same technology before and have caused devastating floods such as the RFA Rainmakers, which caused a 1952 flood in Lyman. Geoengineering has to be banned.
100%.
You can't do this to people. You can't do this to people.
100%.
To say that you're just trying to do it to get them water. You can see Robbie Starbuck here.
That's more kind of the same footage of the airplanes.
Dubai airports look like an apocalyptic movie. Videos of the flooding are insane. I've seen some blaming climate change when the cause is actually a form of weather modification. And then if you go to the right, you can read
this. But where are the airplanes headed? They're not going to take off in this.
I don't know. Dubai grinds to a standstill as cloud seeding worsens flooding. Seeding planes used to take advantage of low pressure system. Heavy rain disrupts transport system and closes UAE schools. Whenever Grazi Middle East spoke to a meteorology expert from the NCM who confirmed that cloud seeding operations have been conducted in the last 24 hours. The representative also shared details on how many of the trips took place. Here's the thing. You either see a weather system like this, you see coming. You're not going to cloud seed 24 hours before a weather system. This weather system came out of nowhere. A weather system like this doesn't come out of nowhere.
Says, whenever there are clouds in the sky, we conduct cloud seeding operations. From yesterday till today, which was Tuesday afternoon, we carried out 6 trips, he said. It was also confirmed by the representative that we will see a drop in temperatures in the UAE due to the cloud seeding. There is a significant decrease in temperatures today and on Wednesday. It's a drop of around 10 degrees.
Come on. Come on.
Bless you. So you know what I love that is happening here now? It's not a secret anymore that they've been doing the cloud seeding. Like, we used to seem like we're crazy.
But we didn't do this.
Right.
We do it every day. We do it all the time. But this
wasn't us. Okay, I'm a robber and I rob places, but I didn't rob this place.
But I didn't rob this place, right?
Okay.
Okay, so...
Even though I was there and I was seen on the security footage.
All right, so you can bring up my Twitter on this one. I don't think you have this one up. This is American and world news. This is very interesting. So Niger's Russia-backed military, Yonta, has agreed to release 1,000 U.S. troops. It was effectively holding hostage in exchange for Biden's agreement to turn over our $100 million air base to Niger and Russian forces. The U.S. media will barely mention this humiliation today. The redheaded libertarian says this is what happens when your military gets replaced with a bunch of low-T cross-dressers. Now, the U.S. military will begin plans to withdraw troops from Niger. Now, I want to play this clip here from Matt Gaetz to kind of explain what is happening here. But wait, hold real quick. After the arrival of Russian troops, almost 1,000 U.S. soldiers were effectively under house arrest, and U.S. planes had not been allowed to take off land. Upon the release of the U.S. troops, the Russian forces will assume control of our $100 million airbase.
Secretary Woolworth, there's train and equip money requested in this budget, right?
Certainly, Congressman.
And the train and equip mission in Niger is owned by the Army, right?
Yes, we certainly provide soldiers for that, yes.
General, do you know what is going on in Niger right now?
She's a general. Oh, there's...
I know there's some challenges over there in Niger right now, and I don't think that we are actually in charge of that mission that's on the ground.
Well, yeah, we just heard the secretary say you've got soldiers there, so we're gonna dive into that to some extent. Do you know what the status is of diplomatic overflights to our installations in Niger?
Yeah, I'm vaguely tracking that's a challenge over
there. Well, yeah, I mean, it's not a challenge. It's binary. Are we allowed right now to do diplomatic overflights in Niger? Yes or no?
I don't know exactly. I'm not tracking it that close.
Do you know if we're allowed to do those diplomatic overflights?
I don't, but I'm sure the AFRICOM commander does.
Yeah, but you guys just said it's in the budget you're asking for to do these train and equip missions. One of them is in Niger. In Niger right now, the government has stopped us from doing diplomatic overflight missions. So we have Army soldiers right now in Niger who aren't getting their troop rotations, who aren't getting their medicine, who aren't getting their supplies, who aren't getting their mail, and the two senior people in the United States Army are sitting before me, and it's like, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Are you going to do anything for the soldiers that are in Niger right now who can't get medicine? Yes or no?
Congressman, certainly. We can talk to General Langley and make sure that...
Oh, I've talked to General Langley. He comes in here and never has really good answers. I mean, I asked him for information about how many of the coup leaders we had trained, including in Niger, and Ghana and Mali and the Ivory Coast. This is Colonel Mamadé Doumbouya, and this is a photo of him. Did we train and equip him?
By name, I cannot identify that.
Well, that's him with a bunch of U.S. service members outside of our embassy. And just months after this photo was taken in 2021, he led a coup in Guinea and threw out the leader. Does that concern you?
Congressman, core values is what we start off with in IMA programs.
Do we share core values with Colonel Dumbuya?
Core values. I will repeat that.
He led a coup.
We do.
First, I asked you in that clip, how many coup leaders did we train? You didn't know. And so then I put it in the law for you to tell me. The law requires you to tell me by tomorrow. So can you give us a preview of coming attractions?
You get that. You'll get your answer, Congressman. But let me say, there's no correlation and there's no causation of U.S. training to these members.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out, because in like a dozen countries, the coup leaders are people we trained. Like, what a difference a year makes. March 16th, 2023, Secretary Blinken calls Niger, quote, a model of resilience, a model of democracy, a model of cooperation. 1 year and one day later, Dr. Wallander, the spokesperson of the Nigeri military, Colonel Amadou Amabrame, says, quote, the American presence in the territory of the Republic of Niger is illegal. A year and a day after our government said they were the model of resilience and democracy, they are throwing us out by the scruffs of our neck. And he didn't even produce his report on time. So pardon me for a lack of confidence in General Langley. What I'm telling the two of you is that you have a responsibility for these soldiers in Niger. And General, you would agree with me with the premise that we should never sacrifice the well-being of our service members to avoid political embarrassment, right?
Congressman, I will tell you, I'm not tracking that somebody in Niger is not getting their medicine or their mail, but I will, follow up.
You don't even know the status after of the diplomatic overflights. How about the great power competition? You would agree on train and equip missions. We would never want Russian soldiers at the U.S. installation where we're doing train and equip, right? That's not even a tough question. You would agree.
Yes.
And so if there were Russian soldiers behind the wire at Air Base 101 in Niger, where we have soldiers doing the train and equip mission, that would concern you, wouldn't it? Right. Well, I'm here to tell you we've received reports that they run out of medicine in May, that they cannot get their troop rotations. And you know why you don't know that? Because it's a cover-up. Because the U.S. Embassy in Niger is covering it up because of Secretary Blinken's embarrassment. Because Blinken went there in March of 2023 and said this was the centerpiece of our Africa strategy. This was the model of resilience. And then, lo and behold, the very coup leader we trained takes over the country. And then we struggle with whether or not to call it a coup. We've now called it a coup. Since we've called it a coup, now they won't let us get folks in and out. And so I'm looking at what could erupt as another Benghazi. There is no mission to do. There is no train and equip right now with the coup leaders. So we got a bunch of people sitting around without their supplies, without their medicine. And the whole reason intelligence isn't getting to us is because the embassy is blocking it, because Blinken is humiliated that this failed. And I've used my 5 minutes on everything in the army right now because I have constituents who are there in Niger and they're wondering how to get water. Did you know they can't even get clean water? Did you know that the partner nations that we have at that base with our soldiers, the partner nations, the Italians and the Germans, they've stopped cooperating with us. They won't even help us get provisions to our troops because of the status of forces agreement that we have with the government being deemed invalid. I am just a country lawyer from North Florida, but this strikes me as something the two of you should know about. I get the blank stares, but Secretary Warmoth, can I take as your commitment that you are going to leave here and you're going to see to the well-being of these folks in Niger and that they can get the rotations and the medicine they need?
Certainly, I will make sure they're getting the medicine and the water that they need. Yes, Congressman.
Great. Mr. Chairman, I have a number of unanimous consent requests. First, an article from Politico. It's like a bad movie. U.S. officials who helped train Nigeri troops reel from coup.
Without objection, so ordered.
Russian troops arrive in Niger as military agreement begins, and from the BBC.
Without objection, so ordered.
Uranium, Niger termination of U.S. military ties followed accusation of uranium deal, March 17th, 2024, from the Wall Street Journal.
Without objection, so ordered. Gentlemen's time's expired.
Wow.
Oh, man, I love Matt Gaetz.
That guy is fire, and he's talking about things that we don't even know what are happening. How did I not know? I was on Zero Hedge today, and this came up. in what is simultaneously a humiliating setback for the deep state and a welcome victory for the non-interventionist U.S. taxpayers. The White House on Friday announced that U.S. military forces will be withdrawn from Niger over the coming months.
That's because of Matt Gaetz. 1,000,000%.
We can't get them supplies. We can't get them water. We're just going to get them out.
Yeah.
How embarrassing. That chick, whoever the blonde-headed chick was, she's like, well, I'll look into this. So, you know, maybe her heart was, maybe we do want to look into medicine stuff. Well, Matt Gaetz was right. What are we going to do? And Matt Gaetz is right. The Niger country doesn't want us there.
So why are we there?
So we're just going to pull out. And we're not doing training. Let me just explain what train and equip is. Train and equip is that you're supposed to be there to work with the government to train and equip the government. Yep. We worked and trained with the previous government. We taught them how to produce a coup. They produced a coup, and then they want us out. The ones who we trained to produce a coup don't want us there.
Right.
They said, we'll take your money. We'll take your advice. You'll show us how to overthrow our government. Now you be gone.
Yeah.
And your $100 million airbase with you. And you know what? We're going to give it to the Russians. The move comes after Niger's mid-March declaration that it was ending its military cooperation with the U.S. Following Niger's announcement, the U.S. military officials scrambled in vain to salvage the relationship at stake, a $110 million airbase, 201, which the New York Times characterized as the Pentagon's most strategic military asset in sub-Saharan Africa.
Wow.
The Pentagon's most strategic military asset. You can show them if you, Michelle, if you want to show them. I don't know if it's up, though. Set in that key base for counterterrorism. It was a major hub for drone operations in the region. U.S.-Niger relations took a major downturn with a July 2023 coup, which we did cover a little bit of, President Mohamed Bazoum in favor of a military junta. The new government was increasingly keen on Russia, something that triggered bitter complaints from U.S. officials. Things deteriorated further when Western intelligence accused Niger of engaging in secretive talks to give Iran access to its uranium. In a March statement, Yonta spokesman Colonel Abin Rahman said Niger regrets the intention of the American delegation to deny the sovereign Nigerian, it's not Nigerian, it's Nigeria is different than Niger, so I don't know how to say that, Nigerian people, the right to choose their partners and types of partnerships capable of truly helping them fight against terrorism. If you scroll down, Michelle, there's a video here. It says, they chanted, "Down with American imperialism." These protests followed the expulsion of French troops last year.
Protests erupted in Niger to demand the withdrawal of U.S. troops. This comes weeks after Niger's new government under Abdurrahman Chiani terminated an accord with the U.S., which allowed around 1,000 U.S. military personnel to operate in the country, ostensibly for counterterrorism efforts. The protests, reminiscent of those that led to French forces being expelled from Niger last year, chanted slogans against U.S. intervention, expressed support for the government's decision to revoke the accord, and celebrated the presence of Russian military instructors.
They even had Russian flags, by the way.
Oh.
Okay, you can pause that. The Russians will probably take the keys to the airbase, bringing an air defense system with them. More than 100 Russian instructors arriving in the country last week. According to Russia's state-owned news outlet, the Russian personnel are part of Africa Corps, the new paramilitary structure intended to take the place of the Wagner Group that was there before.
Right.
The military company whose mercenaries had an operation spread in Africa under the leadership of Prigozhin, who was killed in a plane crash. I mean, yeah. Mm. At public demonstrations, Nigerians have been seen waving Russian flags and shouting slogans denouncing the U.S. imperialism. The Russian flag has become a symbol of resistance in West Africa, affiliated with anti-West, anti-French attitudes. Indeed, Niger isn't the only country in the Sahel region that's warming up to Russia. The Burkina Faso and the Mali have also sought President Putin's help in battling ISIS and al-Qaeda insurgents, as Corbico explained at Substack. The Pentagon is likely to pivot to Ivory Coast, a.k.a. The Comte de Lavour, where its drones will be welcome at French bases. So there are approximately about 1,000 service members in Niger. In 2017, members of Congress were surprised to learn that soldiers and airmen have been deployed there. They didn't even know. They found out in the worst possible way after four U.S. Army Special Forces were killed in ambush by ISIS. Last October, Rand Paul introduced a bill that would force Biden to withdraw American forces from the country. If we're going to send someone or someone's son or daughter to die in a foreign country, if they're going to risk their life, Congress should vote on them being there.
Yeah, that's good.
Wow, that's absolutely huge. All right, so before we move on to talk about the bishop who was killed, which is really sad, Michelle wanted me to bring up one of mom's favorite channels, and he's a viewer in the chat. It's Hilton.
11,000 on YouTube.
Hilton, 11,000 on YouTube. And he takes these walks around Wales. He lives where Barry does. And he found a coin recently. Did you hear about this coin?
I did, actually. Oh. Now, I have the views and ooze video up.
Did we share this one on our show?
I think we may have. This is one we showed earlier on Friday. Let's go back here. This one?
Yeah, I don't know if this is the one. Maybe Mom can put it in the chat. He found this super, super weird, rare coin. I don't know. It's a long way from home. This is the one. Bring up this one. It's a long way from home.
Oh, it's the scrap
volume again.
This is a 5p. Queen Elizabeth. 2014, yeah? Yep. This, I think, this is the leg, an arm, a head, a shield, a date supposed to be there, I think. And there's a rod going here up in her hand. I'm sure that's the Britannia. But I don't know what this is.
It's been through a lot.
Go, eh? Look that way. I see the writing here. Totally knackered. Not sure what it is.
So, Mom, where's the video where he found one that came over from, like, the United States or something?
Mm-hmm.
But he goes around and he finds all these coins. How is he? Just scroll through and see it. Look at all these coins. Just scroll through his videos.
Good afternoon. Evening.
9 p.m.
I know. There was this is a coin time. Okay. Hang on. I'm trying to get to the part where...
I've been hunting today, which is good. Vintage dog whistle.
Huh. What was that he said he found?
I have no idea.
And here's something I've been doing. These are George III, 18-something hundred coins. I've been trying to clean them a bit.
So many people dropping their coins, man.
I've been scraping them, getting the dirt off, because they're quite thick.
Those look gold.
They're all gold.
Polished them up.
They're gold coins. He's finding gold coins. It's amazing.
Still got work to do on them, to clean them. You can see the head there and the head there. That's George III. Penny and halfpenny. Or a farthing.
He says, I think the last video was the American coin.
A nice bit of weight.
The last one that we just
one.
Did? Did that turn out to be the
nice
American one?
Nice bit of copper.
Did you tell the story about
it? Hopefully, I'm going to drill a hole in
where's the video where you tell the story? Here, another foreign coin. He finds a foreign coin. Scroll up the top.
I am at the top.
Right there. No, I'm not. Another foreign coin. Trying to get a
focus
in on it.
Can't
Are
get
they
it
all
in
gold
zoom.
That you're finding? You're finding silver coins or?
Ah.
Ooh, there you go.
There's a crown at the top. I think that's supposed to be a one. And these must be initials.
This is the American one, I think.
I think it's a kopeck. I think it's kopeck.
Oh, cool.
1841. That's awesome. It's like a little treasure hunt.
Yeah. It's a Ruski.
He says these are copper coins.
Copper coins, okay.
Now, what's a Ruski coin doing in Wales?
The Russian coin.
Especially an 1841 Ruski.
That's awesome. So this is the Russian coin.
Oh my gosh, how is this? How do you find all those?
So just, but I just wanted to, I wanted to just show you where he's at, though.
Okay.
Not collecting scrap today. We're in between weathers. I was up there yesterday. Heights. At the top over there.
This dog.
It's so beautiful. It's crazy beautiful.
I don't think there'd be much gold things, very old, but might be some silvers. Maybe even a gold coin. People waiting for the train at one time. Because the train used to go through here, down to Trawsfynydd, round the mountain, and head towards Bala. And then on to Corwen and Wrexham. But they stopped that before I was born, I think.
Okay, I want to show you his channel. And I want to show you, because Mom watched it. I think you guys would find this. Oops, shoot. No, that's not what I want to do. I think you guys would find, just kind of scrolling through some of his videos, very peaceful, like when we were watching the
Hilton
Azerbaijan.
He's literally been with us since almost the beginning of Resistance Chicks.
Yeah. So he goes on these treasure hunts. And he goes fishing, and he shows you some amazing views. And I think one of them was, he does this, he goes and he makes coffee at the lake, and he goes fishing, and he takes his dog with him sometimes. And there's his little, yeah, metal detector.
One of my neighbors passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry, your neighbor passed away. He said, so where you, where's your coffee at? I love that you just, house. You take and you make sure, you, he makes a little, and he shows you how he's making, he's going to make his coffee. Oh, you have ads, huh? So then he, like, makes his little coffee.
It's really fun, Hilton.
Watch this. We're going to do this. We're going to speed you up. So he makes his little coffee. Whoop, there he goes. He's a bushcrafter is what he is. Look at this.
He says the one that you want is the long way from home vid. You just have to fast forward.
Okay.
For the American coin.
Okay.
But this is still fun.
Look at this. He makes himself, like, this is...
Keep my bum dry.
Keep my bum dry. That's good.
The weather's got to it. I suppose it's 1970-something.
He just sits there out the... I just love it.
Ooh, the new one's got square edges. Like a pentagon, whatever it's called.
Okay, was that the one...
Long way from home.
Okay, so we just didn't get to it. Okay.
I know, it's a halfpenny. It's a halfpenny size.
Keep going.
Cuter. Might be a badge.
Oh my, that's so like cool.
This one. It's a Stradivarius one.
Maybe it's a slow
down. I'm sure that's Britannia.
Oh yeah.
Nope.
But I know they're not rubbish. As
there it is. That's the American coin.
I also came across this.
That's nice. A really nice coin.
I'll zoom out and zoom in so you can see. There's a big C there. Three, one, two, three. Sam, how many stars? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12. 13 stars. And what could that be, I would imagine? I remember, I'm living in Wales. Now, I'll turn it over.
Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I already looked it up the day that Mom saw the video.
That way.
It's a star with a shield in it.
There we go.
It's a valuable coin.
It is,
it
yeah.
It says 1853.
53? It says United States of 53. America. 53.
United.
Okay.
States.
It's a really cool, it's a very valuable coin. Very cool. Really neat.
So I want
coin.
You guys to go and subscribe to Hilton. Hilton 11,000 on YouTube. He has so many fun videos, and he is definitely part of the Resistance Chicks family. And Patriot Gallery says it's a Confederate coin.
Oh,
so
wow.
I need to head out. Okay. To go do some dogs, take okay. care of some puppies.
All right.
And you can finish the show. And do we need to say goodbye to Facebook?
Yeah, we're going to say goodbye to Facebook now. Come over on Rumble, and we're going to talk about this Assyrian bishop that was, he wasn't stabbed, though. And I'm going to tell you a story about this. He was a knife was sent to him, trying to kill him, but God protected
him. So before
him.
I go, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. Number one, Scott and I did a phenomenal gospel peace show last night. It was so good. I want you guys to go check it out. Yesterday morning, Leah and Scott and I were on with the Ascension Hub Network with Apostle Greg Davis and Pastor Devonese and their whole group. And it was absolute fire and amazing. You want to go back and check that out. Every Thursday now, we're adding a new program on the Resistance Chicks Network. And it's going to be Abigail and Leah, the Revolutionary Revivalist, and several other of the young people in the Bards and Resistance Chicks families. So I want you to add that to your calendar, 8:30 p.m. every Thursday evening. They did an absolute amazing job last Thursday. They absolutely brought really the fire. Cool. We're going to be launching a new program. I don't know if that's going to start tomorrow, maybe next week.
It would. I'm not sure if it's this Tuesday or next Tuesday.
Okay, or excuse me, Tuesdays, on Tuesday evenings. Leah's going to be launching a program, and maybe at the end of this show, she'll give you a little preview to that. However, before I go, I want you guys to be checking out MyPillow. We have the kitchen towels, and I'm here to
They're
tell you
so
the $25 extravaganza is still going, and those
they
kitchen towels are totally worth it.
They're the best kitchen towels I've ever had.
Yes. So
the washcloths are the right. best kitchen washcloths I've ever had.
And even the towels, there's tea towels in there, mm-hmm. and then there's regular towels in there. And they're all part of the $25 extravaganza, mm-hmm. which has a whole host of things there. So go to mypillow.com/RC and use promo code RC. And you'll be supporting.
They're so high quality. They're better than any you can. Yeah.
Mike Lindell and the fight for election integrity. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage you guys to be a part of that. And then also, I'm just going to be straight up honest with you guys. There have been so many of you that have been purchasing from the Brighteon store. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say that is because I'm fairly certain these are repeat mm-hmm. purchases from people because we've been getting notifications. What that tells me is that when you purchase something from Brighteon, you're so happy with it that you're going back and you're purchasing again. Mm-hmm. Because all of the products like the Hawaiian astaxanthin that we take every single day, all of the products
getting
at the Health
Ranger
store.
Buckets and storing up stuff.
It's
yeah.
the highest quality because Mike doesn't mess around. Mm. If he wouldn't be willing to put it in his body, it's not going to be sold. Mm. And Mike doesn't put anything bad in his body mm. at all. Mm. Okay. So the Brighteonstore.com, use promo code CHICKS over there and it'll save you 5% on your order. So all of the things that you need, a lot of the health vitamins and stuff that you would normally go to Amazon for, if you go to the Brighteon store, they're running a whole bunch of sales all the time, like nascent iodine and all of that. When you go to the Brighteon store, you're supporting the Brighteon network and you're supporting Resistance Chicks. So you're not just getting a product, mm-hmm. right? And you need to know that. This is a way to, like, you know, when you go to Infowars.com and you go and you purchase the things from Infowars because you're supporting Infowars, mm-hmm. right? But then you're also getting amazing products because we buy from Infowars all the mm-hmm. time. So I'm just telling you that when you're doing this, you're part of something much bigger. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage you guys to be supporting Mike Adams, supporting Brighteon TV and all the things that they're doing over there. And then you're getting amazing products. So that's all that I have except for Old School Survival Bootcamp. Promo code RCOSS24. Promo code RCOSS24. Old School Survival Bootcamp, May 17th through the 19th. It's the largest homesteading, survival, bushcrafting, and prepping meet in the Midwest. Yeah. It's 3 days camping, 160 classes. You don't have to camp. You can get a hotel. You just have to drive a little bit in to get there. But
well, and then we're going to be teaching a class on gold and silver there.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're going to make it there. You know, we're just, our life is a little bit up in the air right now, but hopefully we're going to be there. And we're excited to teach the gold and silver class. We taught it there last year. It was our the most comprehensive gold and silver class that we've taught. And we explain why we need to go back to gold and silver and how we can go back to gold and silver. Right. We're going to, you know, bring you some updates on where we are at now as far as, you know, states adopting or proposing going back to constitutional money. And that's why we encourage you guys to go to ITM Trading right now to change over your retirement to sound money.
Yeah.
Now, guys, we tell you and we encourage you, if you can, to be purchasing, and I don't think it's a purchase of gold and silver.
No.
Anyways, from SD Bullion or wherever you can. But a lot of you have said, I remember a lady came up to me. She goes, I'm getting an inheritance from a friend for $100,000. I want to put it into gold and silver. How do I do it? And at that time, we didn't have ITM Trading. And I was like, well, here's ITM Trading. We've been sending you guys or people to them for years because they will help you with a wealth strategy, not just here's some gold and silver to buy. Right? How do you move everything over? How do you not take the hit when you're moving out of your retirement? So go and give them a call. The call is free. 1-866-950-7776.
It's the coolest number ever.
7-6. How did we get that number? I don't know, but it's the best. So give them a call and just have them walk you through how do I change things over and get out of the system.
All right. So I'm headed out, but stick around because this is the story that even I want to hear. On Bishop Emmanuel and what he went through, and then him actually forgiving, coming out with a statement of forgiveness for his attacker. So if you're watching on Facebook, click on the link, rumble.com/resistancechicks, or just click on the link and you can catch the rest of the show.
We're on D Live right now?
Yeah, I just did for the heck of it. Okay. Here's the thing, and I say this all the time, Steven Crowder makes you be a member of a mug club or purchase extra stuff to watch more extra content. Literally, we just ask you to click on a link. It's not that hard. So if you're watching on Facebook, click the link.
Yeah.
All right, Leah, you're in control. Okay, this is your screen share right here.
The reason why I wanted to do this off of Facebook is because Bishop Emmanuel, I'm going to show you why he wanted to be, why I feel like he was attacked. I think he was attacked because he was coming out against the regime. And he has spoken out very ardently against radical Islam. And so I'm going to show you guys some videos from Bishop Mari Emmanuel. So here is a video. Let me do a screen share here. There we go. Praise the Lord. This is Bishop Mari Emmanuel. He's one of us. Okay. Sends a message to Andrew Tate. Christ is a warrior. You have made a big mistake when he left and supposedly, he was never a Christian to begin with, but he's became Islamic.
If you think that Christians are coward, you are mistaken. Christ is the only revolutionist ever to exist.
Mm.
No human being ever was able to change the whole world with a word.
Wow.
Superpowers came with weapons and great force. They could not change nothing. Jesus, no weapon, no knife, no sword, nothing. Absolutely nothing. He changed the whole world with the word. There is no one greater than Jesus Christ of Nazareth ever to exist on the face of this planet. I belong to that Jesus. I fear no one and I fear nothing. Understand? I can't stand it when they talk about my Jesus like that. If the Christians are coward, Christ is the glory. And he's the warrior. So you better take that back, Mr. Andrew Tate. But there's one thing you have misunderstood. Let me tell you. And those who have, who share the same mindset like you. Jesus Christ is love. He came on his first coming as mercy. See, you need to understand one thing about love. Love is the most powerful thing ever to exist. And it is the most, the weakest thing also ever to exist at the same time. Love is the most powerful and the weakest at the same time. Why? Because when you love someone from the heart, you will do anything and everything for that someone. If that love is received as weakness, then it's the ignorance of the other party, not the one who loves. But let me tell you, when the time comes, love can be also very, very powerful. Because love moves mountains. Mm. See, you cannot change the heart of a person using force. Mm. You cannot change the mind of a person using the sword and threatening to beheading people. The only way you can change a heart of a man or a woman is when you show them and give them love, not power. Don't ever misunderstand what Jesus is all about. Don't ever. And this goes to all the Christians. To all the Christians. Eat everything. Look, the Lord took me to heaven. Yeah? I want Andrew Tate to hear this. Yes? And everyone like Andrew Tate. Let me tell you this, all of you, everyone. The Lord, no one else, took me to heaven. Let me tell you, there is no Muhammad. There is no Buddha. There is no Krishna. There is no one. Only one, Jesus. Why? Because he is the only one. There is no one else but him. He is God revealed in the flesh. God revealed in the flesh. No one else. No one else. This is not judgment. This is not attack. This is not discrimination. Believe you me, I love everyone. Believe you, and if you don't want to believe, it's up to you. It doesn't matter. But I love you because my Jesus taught me to love everyone. Let me tell you this. You will never, ever find anyone in heaven except Jesus Christ. Buddhists, stop chasing Buddha. I can assure you, you can say Buddha was a nice man. You can put as many oranges and apple in front of him. That will get you nowhere. Let me tell you, you can follow your 3 billion gods, Hindus. They'll get you nowhere. You can follow Muhammad. It'll get you nowhere. The only one that truly is who he is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And this has got nothing to do with Christians or anyone else. It's got to do with the truth. This is the truth. Jesus Christ is God, the creator of everyone and everything, visible and invisible. That's all I saw in heaven, him. I didn't see anyone else. Why would I make up a story like this? You know what? This story could get me into trouble, if anything, really. People might not like what they hear. I'm not making it up. Mr. Andrew Tate, I'll pray for you, my dear friend, to come back to the Lord Jesus because you made a big mistake by denying your Lord. The biggest mistake ever you've made in your life. And I pray the Lord touches your heart and bring you back to the truth, for there is no other truth but Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Mm. Wow. Wow. That might have been one. That's probably one video. He talks about, I think he's a bishop in Australia.
Investigation done here in Australia. Right? 40,000 children disappear here in Australia every year. And the one who was heading that team, investigative team, he said, I am shocked. You can watch it. It's on YouTube. He said, I am shocked because I have 27 names on this paper here in front of me. These 27 names, they are 100% truly whatever they've done, because police, at federal level, have investigated them thoroughly, and with proofs, they are all guilty of all these child abuses here in Australia, 40,000. He said, but to my shock, I would never ever had imagined I would see this as an Aussie. He said some of the names in this list are ex-prime ministers of this nation. Ex-prime ministers. Anyone who hurts an elderly person and a young child is a coward, is an evildoer. May the Lord Jesus rebuke them all. And if the Lord sees that they don't wish to repent, Lord, I beg you, pluck them from their roots, whoever they are, wherever they are. Because enough of this evilness. Little innocent children, you evildoers, you cowards, you traitors, you... If I see them in front of me, I'll lose it. I'll finally use my red belt in karate. If I get the chance, I will rescue those children myself and let them kill me. I don't care.
Keep calling them out. He's calling him out, and that's why he's an enemy of the state, basically. Here he is calling out vaccines.
Well, what is happening is nothing but deliberate evil action by the secret societies. What does it benefit a man if he gains the whole world, yet at the end loses himself? So what, you're a prime minister? So what, you're a president? So what, you're a king? So what, you're a church leader? Stop enslaving people. And enough lies. Enough lockdowns. This is slavery. And enough so-called corona. It can be treated quiet easily with proven medications, not untested so-called experimental vaccines done by evil intentions. Let Bill Gates jab himself with it. Let the Rockefeller jab themselves with it. Let the Rothschild jab themselves with it. Let Klaus Schwab jab himself with it. Let George Soros jab himself with it. Enough stupidity. Stop forcing people to take vaccination because of safety measures. Get a life.
Get a life.
Well, wow. What is happening is nothing but it says about the Lord Jesus. According to their book, Amma Isa ibn Maryam fahuwa kalimatullahi wa ruhun minhu. I speak Arabic, I write Arabic, I read Arabic. I'm educated in the Arabic language. Amma Isa ibn Maryam fahuwa kalimatullahi wa ruhun minhu. What is Muhammad is saying in the Quran? He's saying, but Jesus, or Isa, Jesus, but Jesus, son of Mary, is the word of God and a spirit of God. Now, I ask Muhammad, where did you get this from? But Jesus, son of Mary, is the word of God and a spirit of him. Oh, John, the fourth living creature, which is the flying eagle, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1 verse 1, the very beginning of the gospel. In the beginning was the word. Look at what Muhammad is saying. Jesus, son of Mary, is the word of God. Okay, don't lose track of this. He is the word of God. John, 6 centuries prior to him, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So what are you trying to say, Muhammad? Are you saying Jesus is God? That's what you're saying. You got it from the Gospel of John. Not from Allah, from the Gospel of John. He's God. We know all the history, but it's not my topic now. Maybe one day. All this. The moment you deny the divinity of Christ, he is not the Son of God, he is not God, and he was never crucified, you have denied your own salvation. When you deny your salvation, you've denied life. When you deny life, what are you going to end up with? Death. That's why the one who's sitting on it is death.
you're going to get nothing but death. Islam flourished and expanded with the sword. That's why on the flag of Saudi Arabia is green with two swords crossing. That's how it went with the sword. Jesus said, my sword is my word, and my word is love. You flourish through love, not by chopping heads. You flourish with love. I don't want to offend no Muslim. That's not my intention. But this is what their book literally says. So don't tell me we believe in your Jesus. You don't. My Jesus is God revealed in the flesh. He was crucified to save the whole world. This is my Jesus. There is, in here, it's non-negotiable area. We can't sit and say, let's come up with a solution. No, this is the solution and the only solution. You better believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God himself. He was crucified. He was buried, rose from the dead on the third day, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. For he is God revealed in the flesh. Period.
Wow. I think that that might be the one that if they were upset about anything, but I'm going to tell you, let me see where we find the article here. So here he is. The Saab is, and so there was an attack made on him. And I don't want to play the video for you guys, so you just have to see it. That's the one thing I want to be careful when I play things. I think some of you have already seen it, so you know what I'm talking about, right? There was a 15-year-old boy, I guess. Are they calling him a man? He's really a boy. And he went after this bishop, and instead of being angry or hateful, he has called for us and his supporters to not retaliate, but instead to behave in a Christ-like way. Bishop Mari Emmanuel, 53, was preaching at the Christ the Good Shepherd Church in the west of Australia's most populous city Monday when a 16-year-old assailant ran from the congregation and attacked him. Horrified worshipers watched before they ran to the rescue with the bishop, now happy to embrace the Christian tenet of the belief of forgiveness from those who sin. So I want to pray for you his nope, that's not what we want. I think it's this one, yeah.
And the Quran.
Oh wait, we watched this one. It's the next one.
Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This is Bishop Mari Emmanuel addressing our beloved faithfuls, whoever you are and wherever you are. We need to understand that we need to be always thankful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, for whatever trials and tribulations we go through. We are carrying the cross. Let us not forget that at all. The Lord Jesus said to us, if you do not carry your cross every day and follow me, you are not worthy to be my disciple. We thank the Lord Jesus for what took place in the last couple of days. I'm doing fine, recovering very quickly. We thank the Lord Jesus. So there is no need to be worried or concerned. And a piece of advice to our beloved faithfuls. I need you to act Christ-like. The Lord Jesus never taught us to fight. The Lord Jesus never taught us to retaliate. The Lord Jesus never said to us, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The Lord Jesus said, never return evil with evil, but return evil with good. For this is our master, our teacher, our leader, and our good shepherd who leads us to green pastures and still waters. So my beloveds, I want you to always be calm. We need to be always law-abiding citizen as well. We need to cooperate with the police directives, whether it be at a state level or a federal level. We pray for our country, our beloved country, Australia, and our beautiful city of Sydney. And we pray that the Lord Jesus always protects this country and the people of this country. And we should never forget that we are very blessed to be Aussies. But above all, we are Christians, and we need to act like it. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. Whatever has happened to me personally, I thank the Lord Jesus. It's a huge blessing for me. I forgive whoever has done this act. And I say to him, you're my son. I love you. And I will always pray for you. And whoever sent you to do this, I forgive them as well. In Jesus' mighty name. I have nothing in my heart but love for everyone. Whether that person is a Christian or not, it's totally beside the point. The Lord Jesus always taught us to love one another. Love God and love your neighbor like yourself. Whoever that neighbor is, we need to love them and respect them as we love and respect ourselves. So I have forgiven them. I'm praying for them. And for this young man, I say to you, you're my son, and you'll always be in my praise. May the Lord Jesus forgive you. May the Lord Jesus bless you and show you the way, my dear son. And once again, to our beloved faithfuls, we need to reflect Christ in our life. The Lord Jesus never said, go out and fight in the street. Never said to retaliate, but to pray. And this is what I'm asking everyone to do. Pray, my beloved. Thank the Lord Jesus and respect the law of this country and also adhere to the directives from our beloved police force, from the commissioners, and to everyone else in this government. We need to be law-abiding citizens. God bless you all, and God willing, we will see you soon and go back to our normal duties once again, serving the Lord from the heart. God bless. Take care. Mm.
That's so good. Serving the Lord. So that, in a nutshell, is where we all should be. And I think that it's a beautiful reminder. God saved his life. So the attacker came at him with a switchblade and the blade didn't open up. And so he was beaten, but he's okay now. And I feel like that is just such a wonderful sign that God will protect you. I think it was like his cross maybe protected him or something. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah, it was kind of just a wonderful turnaround of events to where now people are talking about him. I have one last thing to share with you that I really can't share on Facebook. This is kind of exciting. So when I'm ready to go to stopworldcontrol.com, I can open that up over here. Let me see. I'm going to screen share. So this is our friend David Sorensen and his website, and it's stopworldcontrol.com is the let me see if I can bring up stopworldcontrol.com. Let me see. stopworldcontrol.com. All right, so this is David Sorensen's site. Now, you can go find this new, he's got a new documentary. It looks really great. And I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen parts of it. I want to play for you guys the film that he has put together. Corey shared this out. Everybody should watch it. It's called The End of Humanity as Planned by the Global Leaders. See the official agenda to end the era of humanity and enter a new era of neo-humanity where original humans will be replaced by artificial alternatives such as humanoid robots, cyborgs, avatars, and AI.
Hi, can I ask you something? How would you like it if the government recorded everything you think, feel, and dream? And how would you like it if your life was completely controlled by us, humanoid robots? We would tell you who to marry, what to buy, and who to vote for. Do you think that is crazy? Think again. This is your future, designed by the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum says they design the future of humanity. Let's listen to their ideas about your future.
I want to talk to you today about the future of our species and really the future of life. We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens. Within a century or two, Earth will be dominated by entities that are more different from us than we are different from Neanderthals or from chimpanzees. Because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. These will be the main products of the economy, of the 21st century economy. Not textiles and vehicles and weapons, but bodies and brains and minds. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like? This will be decided by the people who own the data. Those who control the data control the future, not just of humanity, but the future of life itself.
I will now let the director of this film continue. Bye-bye.
Yuval Noah Harari is an advisor to the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, and many other globalist organizations. He is powerfully pushed onto the world stage and is invited on TED Talks, CNN, night shows, science platforms all over the place. His books are being promoted by presidents, Bill Gates, and Facebook. It's clear they want the world to hear Harari's vision for the future.
We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens. Earth will be dominated by entities that are more different from us than we are different from Neanderthals or from chimpanzees. We will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds.
One organization that's pushing Harari to the forefront more than others is the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum gathers thousands of the world's richest and most powerful under its wings. Billionaires, political world leaders, big pharma, big media, big tech. The World Economic Forum has more influence in our world than any other organization. Its founder is Klaus Schwab. He is also the mind behind the idea of creating a new species of cyborgs that will rule over humanity. His book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, is promoting this concept worldwide. They literally want to put an end to the original humanity. Initiate the birth of the age of cyborgs. Thoughts, but that it can even insert thoughts and emotions.
So I think that they already are inserting thoughts and emotions. And let's see.
Interfaces simulate complex systems,
create humanoid robots and cyborgs. And with the help of nanorobots, we may develop manageable matter. Find ways to transfer one's personality.
No.
An age that follows after the age of mankind. But much more is going on than meets the eye. What the public is seeing in these videos is just a tiny fraction of what is truly being developed. Behind the closed doors of top secret military programs, humanoid robots exist that are of a whole different level. Nobody knows how far they truly are with their
development. It is something we can do.
There is something we can do, and I'm going to leave you guys with that. That's why we hammer so much on our show to garden, to get outside. We're going to go to a greenhouse right now and get some plants. We started our own. You've seen our own greenhouse, and we like to support our local greenhouse, even though they keep raising their prices every year. It's their opening house weekend, and we like to go and support them. So we're going to head out there in a second. But yeah, we love you guys. God loves you. God bless. We'll see you on Wednesday. This might be a wrap up for a Revelation Red Pill for now and for the year, but I don't think that's going to end on our show on Wednesdays. I'm coming up with a new program, I think, called World Changers on Wednesdays, that I want to highlight Christian heroes, Christian heritage, and Christian history, and bring a new person every week. So if you guys hopefully will come and stick around for that, we're going to keep teaching. We're going to keep learning. We're going to ever increase our spirits and our minds, and we're going to keep applying it, because basically the Christian Heroes, the World Changers edition, is what I want to kind of bring to you, the how other Christians have been Revelation Red Pilled, and how they have applied that to the world to change the world. And I think that when you get inspired and you see other people who, like we did our show with Scott, I want to break it down again. And by individual basis, and maybe take on an Isaac Newton or a Copernicus. They're not just history people. These are people who changed the world, people who could be just like you and me one day, who hopefully my name will go down in history and say that she was a world changer, and I want to be a world changer. So I hope you guys will continue to take this journey with me. We're still working on what we're going to do for our Brighton show for Fridays. So continue to send us your emails for your suggestions on what you would like that to look like. We're leaning towards doing some interviews, but then we've got to set people up for interviews. And that's a whole new scheduling opportunity. So we're going to figure that one out. All right. So we love you guys. God loves you. God bless. Remember, it's not just a conspiracy theory. If it's actually the truth, if you like this, share it with your friends. Keep coming back every Sunday. Come back every Friday for our Friday show. We continue to do the world news roundup. Definitely. It's between 7 and 9 or 8 and 10. We're not sure we're going to make that. But we're usually there at 7 on Fridays. We have been for the past several years. So we love you guys. God loves you. And we'll see you later. I'm going to turn this off. We were on DLive today. Haven't been there in a while. So we're going to say bye, DLive. And, oh, wait. Okay, so there's an outro here. Right? Oh, there it is.